Because it happens. I spend time and even get help spending time poring over scripture, looking at what it is that I think it is that we ought to be reading out of scripture. And every week, as people leave, don't be afraid to do this now that I'm telling you. Every week, as people leave, somebody will tell me a different portion or a different piece or even a sentence or so that captures them in the service every week. And so I'm trying to get you to see something out of Scripture, and then a gorilla goes by. And you probably didn't even see it the first time, but as you sit and you let Scripture come into your life and you let Scripture become part of your speech, gorillas start to show up. And so don't be afraid of that. Let's be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in this place. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Acts, if you turn there with me. We are continuing in our series that we are leaking. We're all leaking something. Some of us this week, we're leaking kindness. Some of us were leaking joy. Some of us were leaking anger and bitterness and jealousy. What were you leaking this week? What was I leaking? I want us to take a look at this passage of Scripture. And just like the video, at the first glance, at the first reading, we're just going to be counting passes. And then as we continue digging into Scripture, hopefully a gorilla will show up. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. When you get to Acts chapter 4, would you please stand if you're willing and able for the reading of God's Word? We're going to read verses 1 through 13. Says this: as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and a number of men came to be about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of high priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Father, thank you for an opportunity to look at your word. Father, would you allow us to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning so that we might interpret your text correctly, so that we might see clearly what it is you would have us to learn from your divine word. Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture and what it teaches and how it teaches. Father, help us to find things to hang on to this morning, as we are all desperately in need of you and completely undone without you. We love you and we give you this time. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Acts chapter 4. What is going on in Acts chapter 4? I'm glad you asked. We're going to do what we like to do, what we normally do. We're going to go look for context. We're going to try to figure out what is going on. If you read the book of Acts as a whole, you will notice that suffering repeatedly follows ministry and mission. Suffering repeatedly follows ministry and mission. And then as the suffering comes along, it provides a new opportunity for ministry and mission. So it's a cycle in the book of Acts, and you see this repeated over and over and over. And this is how it is with us a lot of times. We suffer, we go through something that it causes us to have suffering, and it gives opportunity. It opens doors for ministry and mission. And as we are on those ministries and in those missions, we encounter more suffering, which then opens the door again for more ministry and mission. See how that works? We are just repeating a cycle that we see played out in Acts particularly. Now, what is going on here in Acts chapter 4? Peter and John have been arrested. Who was there? Acts chapter 4, 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees. Pretty good group, right? They're there. What are they doing? They have become disturbed. Look at verse 2. Being greatly disturbed. What do you think about this? When was the last time you got arrested because somebody got disturbed about something you did? And how would it make you feel? How would it make me feel? If I am standing here proclaiming the name of Jesus to you, and somebody comes in and says, "We are greatly disturbed about this," and they drag me out of here and arrest me, how would that make me feel? How would it make you feel? They were offended. They were displeased. They were worked up over this idea of this preaching. So what are they so disturbed about? Let's go back to Acts chapter 3 and figure it out. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Man, I like that. The hour of prayer. Just give an hour. See what it does. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." Seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple and beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now let's not just glaze through this because we're trying to make a point. I want you to realize something about this miracle. I was in the world of athletic training and rehab and injury management and prevention and all of those things. And it takes on a whole new form whenever you understand more about your body. This man was lame from birth, not being able to walk, He probably had really strong arms from crawling around, pulling himself around. His body was conditioned to work from the waist up. These two guys come along and say, "What? We don't have alms, but what we do have, we'll give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk." And then it doesn't say that he had to go through 8 months of rehab to figure out how to strengthen his feet and his ankles and his calf muscles and his quads and his glutes, all of these muscles that hold us upright. It doesn't say that he had to go through 6 months of painful rehab. It says what? He got up and he walked with a leap. He's praising God. He's following them into the temple. That's the power of our God. How have we forgotten that? Why is it that you and I walk around so stinking defeated when this is the power of our God? He may or may not choose to manifest himself in that way today, tomorrow. But where do you place your hope? What is your trust in? What is my hope and my trust in? It is in the power of that God. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. They had performed a public healing. In public, all the people took note. And they were praising God at the man. The religious leaders back in Acts chapter 4, being greatly disturbed because of the teaching and proclaiming and the resurrection of the dead. Now they are disturbed. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So these religious leaders are in a pickle, if you want to say that. They have been put in a spiritual bind because now there are two men that are coming along. They have done a public healing. They have stirred the people up because they took note of the man who was lame from birth that used to sit at the beautiful gate and beg alms. And now they're teaching about the resurrection of Christ, proclaiming in the resurrection through Jesus Christ, and the number of people that had believed was about 5,000. So the religious leaders are losing their grip on the public. Now there's this doctrine of truth about Jesus, and it has come along, and people have come and started following, not the religious leaders, they are following the teaching of Jesus. The message of Jesus, the resurrection of the cross. And they are disturbed to the point where they have to arrest these two men. You remember another person that got arrested by religious leaders? All four gospel accounts give language to and give time to Jesus being arrested. Everybody know who Jesus is, right? This is the part where you respond. Yes. Yes. Okay, good. Now I know who's sleeping and who's not. I'm just kidding. Nobody's asleep. Luke 22, 52, you find similar language here. Look, it says, I'm going to read it for you. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come against him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this hour and the power of darkness are yours." Who's there to arrest Jesus in this account in Luke? Chief priests, officers of the temple, and elders. The religious leaders of the day have become disturbed about what Jesus is doing, so they go and arrest him. This is not without precedence. The religious leaders become disturbed about what Peter and John are doing, and they go and arrest them. This is just how we handle things as religious leaders, apparently.
When things aren't going our way, we just go and arrest whoever it is that's making problems.
Jesus was arrested because a group of people had become disturbed.
And then, what happens to Jesus after he is arrested by the religious leaders? They take Jesus to the movers and the shakers, is what I call them. People that can get something done about Jesus. We are disturbed, the religious leaders say. We are so disturbed that we're going to come over here and arrest him. Now what? We have him in custody, but we can't do anything about it. So we're going to take him to somebody that can. For Jesus, he got taken to Pilate. Remember that? He got taken to Pilate. Then Pilate sent him to Herod. Then Herod sent him back to Pilate. The movers and the shakers, even though they could have done something about it, they didn't want to. Neither one of them. They couldn't even figure that out. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4. Read verse 5 and 6. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. The religious leaders in verse 1, the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees arrested Peter and John. And then in verse 5 and 6, they took them to the movers and the shakers. And they said, please do something about these men. They're ruining our congregation. 5,000 people have already left. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and they said something like this when you get to a certain point in the discussion and they say something like, don't go there. Just don't go there. Don't do that. I think it's fun that the movers and the shakers here went there. I want you to look. At verse 7, when they had placed them in the center and began to inquire, they went there. They began to inquire about Peter and John. By what power or in what name have you done this? Oh, they went there. By what power or in what name? See? They could have asked 100 questions as the movers and the shakers. Wasn't part of God's divine plan for them to shoot the breeze, if you will, to ask them questions they already knew the answer to which this one I think they did actually know, because they said, by what power or what name? They had to have some knowledge about what was going on. They just didn't say, how are you doing this? Why are you doing this? They specifically went there and they said, by what power and by what name? Or by what name are you doing these things? Now, if you are Peter or John in this moment, let's be them for just a second. Put yourself in their shoes. You have done what wrong? Can't you just see this playing out? If you and I were to be taken into captivity to be held for questioning by some religious group, by some movers and shakers of Jack County, let's just be right at home, and they come in and start dragging us out by the shirt, what is the first question that you would ask? What did I do? What have I done? I have done nothing wrong. Why are you dragging me out in front of my children and in front of my church family? Why? What did I do? Right? What did they do? Turn over to Matthew. It's the Gospel of Matthew, right at the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 3.
Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me, he says? But Jesus answering him, said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, in verse 16, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Would you just go back to verse 16 for just a minute. After being baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw what? He saw the Spirit of God descending on him and lighting on him. Very few pictures that depict this scene ever put the dove on Jesus. They're always over him. You ever notice that? You think about that. Very few pictures ever put the dove on him. Some do. Why is that so important? Look at the very next verse. We are the ones that added chapters and verses, and this used to all just be one thing with no break. Then Jesus was led up by what? By the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What? After Jesus' baptism and the Spirit coming down on him and lighting on him, the very next thing is that he was led by that same Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's not how we're supposed to do it. This is not right. But see, glory be to God that we didn't write this. Because we would not have planned it that way, but we're not divine. We're not sovereign. We're not in control. And so it is written that way. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. We don't know all. We don't see all. We were not here before all was existed, before there was even time and space. Let's talk about something that we can all wrap our minds around. Let's talk about eating. Eating. How many of you have ever been so full at a restaurant? Let's talk to the students for a minute. Have y'all ever been so full that it felt like you might pop? The parents are going, no, they never feel that way. Just empty freezers and empty remnants of food in the refrigerator. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, you feel that way sometimes. When you eat what? Just tell me. When you eat what? Food. Don't give me that. What food? Spaghetti? Carbs. Good. Spaghetti. Let's go with spaghetti. I have taken a bowl of spaghetti from the spaghetti warehouse, okay? Or from Olive Garden or wherever you get a bowl of spaghetti. Maybe from home. And I stick my fork in it and I eat and I eat. And I start, you know, really nicely with the spoon, and you twirl it up on the spoon because that's how you do it. And then I get so tired of that because I just want to eat. And maybe if I'm under the age of one, I abandon the utensils and just use my hands. And I eat, and I eat, and I eat. And spaghetti is very filling for the moment. And then what? I sit back in my chair and I think, oh goodness, please don't even bring me that little green mint because I cannot stand to put it in my mouth. I am so full. Please don't give me another bite to eat.
I may just explode all over the restaurant. I should go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 46. We have looked at this text before, but I want to bring something to your attention. We are in search of a gorilla here. Did you know that? Luke chapter 8, verse 46. But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out from me." What's happened here? There was a woman that was hemorrhaging, and she fought through the crowd, and she thought, if I can just touch Jesus' cloak, if I can just get close enough to touch him, I don't have to talk to him, I don't have to speak to him, he doesn't even have to know that I exist. If I can just reach up and touch his cloak, then I'll be healed. And Jesus, shuffling around all the people in the crowd, stops and he says, "Someone touched me." And his disciples go, "Master, look at all these people. Of course somebody touched you. What kind of crazy statement is that?" He says, "No, somebody touched me and power went out from me." I want you to think about being so filled to the brim with this power, this spirit, this power that came down and lit on Jesus and led him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. That same power, that same spirit that he is so filled with, that even just somebody touching him, looking for healing, made power go out of him. "I'm that full of the Spirit," Jesus says. "I am so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that just a touch made me explode. Just somebody touching me made it come out of me." It would be an inaccurate statement for me to say that that power that left him is anything other than the power of the Holy Spirit. That same power that came in the form of a dove that lit on Jesus, that he is filled to the brim with. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Remember the question in verse 7? "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Remember in Acts chapter 2? When the Holy Spirit was given to those at Pentecost? Acts chapter 2, verse 22 tells us, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." When the Holy Spirit comes, you will be able to perform wonders and signs, it says. And we've been chasing this for a while. And I want you to do more than just count bounces. I want you to try to see the gorilla here, because Acts chapter 4, go back, starting in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people," filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice, after he is filled with the Holy Spirit, where does he immediately point the people? Where does he immediately point the religious elite of his day? The movers and the shakers. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, "If we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man," which they are on trial today for the benefit that they performed to a sick man, that they want to know, look at verse 10, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health." Where did they immediately go? Where were the words of Peter immediately directed? Because see, he is so filled with the Holy Spirit. He is so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He can only perform the primary role of the Holy Spirit at that moment. And what is the primary role of the Holy Spirit? To point people to the Son. You see, the Father, God the Father, if we talk about the Trinity, those three beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Father has always been, in the beginning, God. Before there was ever time, space, air, anything, God was here. That's the Father. We get that. We know that. We understand that from the Old Testament. Then we get the Son, Jesus Christ. We get this from the New Testament, the beginning of the New Testament, where Jesus Christ comes on the scene. And we see that in the Old Testament as they point to Christ coming. We get the Father who was always there and the Son who has come to rescue us and save us from our sin. And we get those two very well. And then comes the Holy Spirit. And all we think about is this dove coming out of the sky and lighting on Jesus. Oh, if that's all the Holy Spirit ever is to you and I, woe is us. Because with power of the Holy Spirit, Peter speaks and immediately points people back to the Son. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we leak indicators that point everybody to the Son. And when you get people pointed to the Son, it points them to the Father. This is how our ministry life should go. That we become so filled with the Spirit that we have to point people to the Son, which then in turn points them to the Father, which then in turn points them to salvation. This is a high-pressure situation for Peter. You say, well, maybe he just is not used to these things. To go back, think about just a few books and scripture, passages of scripture before this, where Peter denies Christ three times. A man who was filled with himself and worried about self-preservation denied that he was even a follower of Jesus Christ. And now, in Acts chapter 4, being filled with the Holy Spirit, all he can do is point people to Jesus. You say, well, what's the turnaround? Filled with self, filled with the Holy Spirit. You begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to leak everything that points to Jesus. And now I want you to notice one more thing as we finish. Because it says in verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. In verse 13, now as these religious movers and shakers, they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Being filled with the Spirit changes our actions. Being filled with the Spirit changes our speech. Being filled with the Spirit transforms our character and points people to Jesus Christ. And we have it so good today, church. We just don't know how good we have it. I want to end with this. John chapter 16. I know we've been all over Scripture today, and I appreciate you going with me. John chapter 16, verse 7 says this, but I tell you the truth. This is Jesus teaching about the Holy Spirit. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. It is better, your text might say. It is better and to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus Christ on this earth, talking to his disciples, said, it is better that I leave you. It is better that my physical body leave you. Think about the power of that statement. It is better that I leave you for the sake that you might receive the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And if I don't go, you can't have Him. It is by that power and by that name that miracles were done. And it still happens today. What will you be leaking this week, church? May we all be filled with the Spirit so that we point people to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity again to look at your word. Father, help us to not be so caught up in ourselves that we cannot be filled with the Spirit. Because you even said that you had to leave in order that we might be able to receive the Spirit, the help. Father, that alone helps me to see that I am completely inadequate on my own. We need you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we might be able to point people to Christ. Father, if we care anything about advancing the kingdom, Father, would it be so that we are so filled with the Spirit this week that we point people to Christ, and then Christ in turn points and glorifies the Father so that people might be saved. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the Spirit. Father, would we not forget that this week? Thank you so much for loving us, for allowing us to be a part of this church, this body of believers. We give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you